This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Do you vape? If you don't know what I'm talking about, then you are not part of the e-cigarette revolution. Over the last decade, e-cigarette use has skyrocketed, especially among young people. They've been peddled as safer, smoke-free alternatives to combustible cigarettes and as a tool for helping longtime smokers eventually quit nicotine entirely. But how much can we say conclusively about the safety and promises of e-cigarettes? And what about their appeal to kids? There are literally thousands of fruity-flavored e-liquids, including mango, root beer, piña colada, and so on. Could vaping become a gateway to other kinds of tobacco products? New FDA rules announced earlier this month will prohibit sales to minors and require companies to disclose e-liquid ingredients. But is this regulation overly cautious or not cautious enough? My next guest discusses these questions and more as we talk about the science of vaping. And you can join our conversation, 844-724-8255. You can also tweet us at SciFry. Arunee Bhatnagar is a professor of medicine and a professor of microbiology and biochemistry at the University of Louisville. He chaired the American Heart Association's first report on the safety of e-cigarette products. He is principal investigator in developing the AHA's Tobacco Regulation and Addiction Center. Professor Bhatnagar, welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let me ask you about what exactly is the difference between an e-cigarette, how that works in comparison to conventional cigarettes?
So the main difference is that in conventional tobacco cigarettes, the tobacco is burned and then the nicotine is then transferred into the aerosol, whereas in e-cigarettes, there is no burning and there is a solution of a carrier, which is usually propylene glycol or glycerol, and that's heated, and that's how the nicotine is inhaled. So big difference.
So it's not actually a vapor, like it's called vaping.
No, the vapor is a misnomer. Vapor is something like a gas that turns into vapor. Scientifically, this is an aerosol, so it has both particles and gases.
Oh, and what do we know for sure about how safe all this is?
Unfortunately, not very much. There have been some studies for the last few years, but I think the picture is still unclear. We do not know to what level or to what extent these devices are safe.
Mm-hmm. So we don't know, for example, about our hearts. We know that cigarettes are bad for our hearts. What about these e-cigarettes?
Well, it's not very clear. I mean, we know that cigarettes are bad, and we know that there are certain constituents in cigarettes that are particularly bad. And because e-cigarettes are not combusted, so they don't generate any of the combustion products, mm-hmm. some expect that they would not be toxic at all. But it remains unclear what the things that are still remaining in e-cigarettes, particularly the particles that are generated in that aerosol, or the residual aldehydes that are generated, or the breakdown products of propylene glycol or glycerol, or the nicotine, any of these could be harmful, but we do not know to what extent they would be.
I don't think I knew that there were that many ingredients.
Yes, I mean, it varies from the device to device. You know, there are three total generations of e-cigarettes. They come to be like cigar-likes and tank types. So they are of different voltages and different sort of power. So there is a whole sort of science and art to it now. What? And the composition varies. So it's been very difficult for us scientists to be able to track down a specific device and say, has this toxicity and the others do not. So it's a sort of a moving target for us now.
You know, after many decades of advertising and listening to tobacco companies, we came to realize later that really a cigarette is just a means of delivering nicotine to you. It's a delivery system. So an e-cigarette is basically the same kind of thing.
Yes, and there has been this belief that nicotine by itself is not as particularly harmful, and that if you deliver it in a certain way which gets rid of the combustion products, then it might not do as much harm as nicotine with the presence of all the other 7,000 chemicals that are present in regular cigarettes. But since this, we do not know much even about cigarettes and which particular constituents or chemicals in that cause harm, we can't be sure whether most of them are gone or some of the remaining ones are still associated with residual toxicity.
What's your feeling about now all these different fruity flavors of e-cigarettes coming out?
So that's a real problem. So the e-cigarette companies have been claiming that they want to wean people off combustible products and put them onto safer e-cigarette products, and that they are doing it to decrease disease and morbidity and mortality in the world. But the problem is that they are at the same time making these e-cigarettes and flavors that would be quite at home at a birthday party of a third grader. So what are they trying to do? We think that the strategy is to recruit a new generation of nicotine addicts by enticing them with this variety of different flavors. And so the health care public, as well as the healthcare activists, are particularly concerned that this might be back to the 1960s, where the tobacco the companies are luring new addicts into their fold.
Mm-hmm. And the FDA released rules earlier this month that will prohibit the sale of e-cigarettes to minors and require manufacturers that to disclose their ingredients and practices. Do you think this is going to be good for public health?
Yeah, so the public health community has universally hailed this regulation as being something which was long awaited. In the time, in the last 2-3 years, there was a wild, wild west there. People were mixing their ingredients. Nobody knew what was in what device and how each device was being operated. There were no standards, and you could mix, you know, your own e-juice in your bathtub and sell it out in your vape shop. The FDA now would require, and it'll take 2 years before everything is put into place, it requires that people at least disclose what is in their products, as we do for any other thing that we eat or drink. So we think these are very sensible, useful, and timely regulations that were much needed. The flip side is that it would be a prohibitive cost, perhaps, on small businesses and vape shops, and maybe only the bigger manufacturing companies or even the big tobacco might be able to afford the information that FDA requests in order to meet the regulation. But there is absolutely no other way to have these products in the market without regulation.
Do you see e-cigarettes? I mean, the advertisers have been saying this is a way of getting people off of regular cigarettes, but you could flip this around and say this is a way of getting people, as e-cigarettes are a gateway to regular smoking.
Yes, so a couple of issues with that. There is some anecdotal evidence and some weak scientific evidence, but not rigorous sort of randomized control trials that have shown that they are indeed effective as cessation devices. That's one. The second is, in smokers as well, most people are using e-cigarettes and tobacco cigarettes together, so they are what we call indulging in dual use. And so it might, in the end, prolong nicotine addiction. Thirdly, yes, some people worry about e-cigarette use by young people. There are about almost 1 or 2% new high school students who have now tried e-cigarettes, and several of them are using e-cigarettes on a daily and a monthly basis. And so we are very concerned that we are fueling nicotine addiction in the society. And there is also some evidence, although some other people, fiercely contest against it, that it is a gateway drug.
E-cigarettes are being advertised as something you smoke anywhere at any time. And we do see that. We see people that they call vaping in airports, bars, other places that have not allowed cigarettes, regular cigarettes, in years. If that's allowed in there, is this going to sort of change our perception of how normal smoking is?
So there are two problems again with that. The first is that even though e-cigarettes don't contain secondhand smoke in the sense that they don't smolder, but the exhaled aerosol can be absorbed by a bystander and would deliver as much nicotine to the other person as if you were being exposed to a cigarette. So the nicotine exposure is similar. Yes, because the combustible products are lesser in e-cigarettes, that there would be less exposure to the person with combustion products. The second, perhaps most important point, and you really correctly pointed out, is that the gains in public health that we have made in anti-smoking campaign has been to denormalize smoking, to prevent it being as an acceptable behavior in public, even in movies and theaters in place, so that is something not we or our children see on a daily basis. Now, putting e-cigarettes back in place in public eye would, we fear, sort of renormalize smoking and would or could potentially erode all the public health gains we've made in the last 50 years.
Is it okay to ask someone to put out their e-cigarette?
Yes, I mean, e-cigarettes is not lit, so it cannot be put out if they stop inhaling it. Yes, and because it is in some sense a civil right issue, you don't want you don't want to be involuntarily exposed to a psychoactive drug, would you? So you have full right to say that you should not be exposed to this involuntarily.
You know, it took decades for us to figure out that cigarettes were as toxic as we now know them to be. How long is it going to take for us to really have a sense of how safe or dangerous e-cigarettes are?
Perhaps sooner than later, we have learned a lot from looking at the conventional cigarette toxicity. The FDA has started a huge program with the 14 research centers around the country. The American Heart Association Center that I co-direct is one of them. And we are trying vigorously to be able to come out with some useful information about their long-term toxicity. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take time, and we need to see how much disease is increased or decreased with the use of e-cigarettes.
Well, thank you for starting the conversation here with us.
Thank you very much for listening to me. Thanks.
You're welcome. Aruni Bhatnagar is a professor of medicine and a professor of microbiology and biochemistry at the University of Louisville, and he chaired the American Heart Association's first report on the safety of e-cigarette products.